of Jesus. Amen. When traveling to a new land or even a new neighborhood, it's helpful to have a guide along the way. It may be a fancy computerized GPS system in your car or on your smartphone or still a trusty paper map. It helps to have your guide. Since ancient Rome, mile markers have been placed alongside the road to mark the distance traveled. And when the road gets twisty, it's not always the easiest to follow the path. And yet it's the road that's been marked for us to travel. We hear the voice of one calling, and we follow him to our journey's destination, loving our neighbors along the way. And in this world of twisty roads with many and varied destinations of self-centered vices, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has called us out of this darkness into his marvelous light. Jesus chose us and demonstrated the ultimate love in his self-sacrificial death and paid for the sins of the whole world. In his resurrection, he proved what he said to be true and gives us eternal comfort here and now as we follow the earthly highway that's been laid out before us. On Maundy Thursday, Jesus left his disciples with several lasting teachings. This was the handing off of the earthly ministry from Jesus himself to his deputized under-shepherds. In this farewell discourse, Jesus gave this new commandment: love one another as I have loved you. And in today's reading, we learn of the love of the Father to the Son and the Son to us. This commandment of loving one another as I have loved you is part of the final discourse. It's describing who we are in Jesus Christ. We are attached to him in holy baptism. Living in faith in Jesus, loving one another, describes who we are in Christ. Those who are loved by God love others. The new man in Christ, the saint, freely loves one another in his name. So let's flesh out this concept of love. We know that it's easy to love people and the things that are enjoyable and bring happiness to us. And we throw this whole love term around with reckless abandon some days. We love our hobbies, our trucks, our pets, our favorite rifle, or perhaps your favorite fishing reel. And how many of us here have that trusty old softball or baseball glove with all the memories baked into the leather? We love these things. And a bit more deeper and accurately, newlywed husbands love their wives, and newlywed wives love their husbands. We cherish and celebrate this covenantal love between a man and a woman. We pray weekly for God's blessings on the marriages in our congregations, families, and nation. And here, on the second Sunday of every May, we commemorate the loving care of mothers toward their children. This love doesn't count the cost, and moms around the world love their children with such a strong bond that it's hard to put into words. The usage of the term love here tries to demonstrate that profoundly deep connection between a mother and her offspring from the time of the child growing in her womb. And as we celebrate Mother's Day, it is important to remember those dear women and men that desire and are willing to be parents and have not been blessed in that special capacity. It is the earnest prayer of the church that these dear sisters and brothers in the faith find comfort in Christ's love toward them, and we pray that they find fulfillment in reflecting Christ's love in service to neighbor. Gather here with your fellow sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father and abide in his love. And having worked through this love term a bit, this question came to mind. What happens when the one being loved stops being so lovable? Relationships can grow dull and break. Hobbies get dropped when the excitement is gone. Pets are abandoned when people don't want them anymore. And all too often, the covenantal bond of holy marriage is severed in divorce. In this culture of convenience and death, we often move on. We find the next newest thing to amuse ourselves. We throw away or sell our gadgets and pop on over to Hobby Lobby, Best Buy, or Amazon.com and find our next one. In relationships with fellow human beings, we often move on. Thanks be to God that Jesus didn't move on from us. From Adam's sin and ours added thereto, we became the unlovable ones. We had it all and we wasted it, just like the prodigal son. We're the ones that caused the disagreements and dulled the proper excitement. We messed it all up and continue messing God's good creation. In divine love and mercy, Jesus laid down his life for yours. He loved you to the ultimate level. He traded his perfect life for sin-drenched ones. Stop and consider this for a moment. In the person of Jesus Christ, God condescended himself by leaving his heavenly throne to share in your flesh and blood. He became like you, to love you, to die for you, to save you. And as we especially celebrate this Easter season, to rise again for you in order to secure your place in heaven for eternity. We didn't choose Jesus. Jesus chose us. More than that, he saved us. This could only be done out of love. Yes, a heavenly love from God above. Jesus is the ultimate example of self-sacrificial love. And in our lives, we can identify earthly types of self-sacrificial love. On this Mother's Day, we celebrate the love and care of moms to their kids. In their special calling, children grow inside of their mother. Mothers have that unique ability to feed the young through their own bodies. These mothers, along with fathers, answer the call of the cry of the little ones deep in the night. In our communities, we honor those who work in positions of service and demonstrate self-sacrificial love. Let's look at a few examples. When the sirens are blaring, we remember those who help in time of immediate need. The police, the firefighters, the EMS technicians, the hospital nurses and doctors. Oh, and you know it this week, those power line workers out there. They pounce onto a scene. They put their training to use to help neighbors facing the deep, dark danger of crime, burning buildings, and weather emergencies, such as the wild winds here and the tornado turnpike this past week. When our kids are growing up, and they suggest they want to be one of these helpers, we often encourage them to pursue this line of service. And in our nation, we have those members of the armed forces that in loving care work to defend our country from attack. We long for the day that we don't have to always be on guard, but in this dark, broken world, we know the need of national security. These brothers and sisters serve in many and varied capacities to help provide security for their loved ones and fellow countrymen. They have pledged to lay down their lives in sacrifice, if needed, to protect the homeland. And in our church community, we also remember pastors, these men who stand as Christ's under-shepherds. These men bring the peace found in Christ alone, our good shepherd, in times of calamity. In the scary times of hospitalizations and other medical emergencies, the chief good shepherd, Jesus, sends his under-shepherds, pastors, to visit and feed the sick and the dying, the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And on our deathbeds, pastors often kneel down in prayer as we say goodbye to our dear loved ones on this side of heaven. And at funerals, pastors preach the hope of the resurrection to those in attendance, while tears flow from their faces. There are indeed other self-sacrificial professions out there, and we honor those who work in loving service to their neighbor. We remember that their power to do so comes straight from the love of Jesus, and that he is the true source of all goodness and mercy in our lives. We are eternally grateful that he has placed these men and women in our lives to serve our neighbors and ourselves. And in this dark world, how can this loving service even be shown to us? This, my friends, is the eternal game changer of being called a friend in Jesus. Jesus laid down his life for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In his victory, he didn't take us as slaves, but he calls us friends. And what are some of these benefits of friendship? We understand how friends share and treat each other well. We don't lord position over each other. We respect each other in our community. And to be a true friend is to share in the blessings of each other. When friends come over, we don't charge for food and drink. We freely gift one another. We share our blessings. And we take turns in picking up the tab at lunch or dinner. And sometimes, if our friends are hitting hard economic times, we may freely treat them a bit more to, again, sharing in our blessings, letting Christ's love reflect in our lives to our neighbor. In Christ's all-atoning death and resurrection, you now share in his blessings, victory, and eternal life, started here on earth and will continue in heaven above. And as St. John wrote in the epistle lesson, you know that you belong to God when love is in your lives. Hate has no place in the life of a Christian. And when God brought you to the waters of holy baptism, he added you to the winner's column of receiving the blessings won by Jesus. And we know that this victory doesn't always look like one to the world. And that's okay, because we take deep comfort in these words. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. Jesus freely gives all of this to you. Despite all of your sinful shortcomings, Jesus chose you. There's no waiting to be pre-approved on your own merits. It's all pure gift. And in today's first reading from Acts, we see how the Holy Spirit fell on both the circumcised Jews and the uncircumcised Gentiles. The Gentiles were baptized that day, becoming part of God's family because Jesus chose them. Thanks be to God that Jesus chose you too. This is the eternal game changer. You now share in his blessings and victory, including eternal life in heaven. This is the greatest blessing that there is. In divine love and mercy, Jesus saved you from your sins by living and dying and rising for you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. In this act of divine mercy and love, Jesus chose you and redeemed you. It's his love that reflects through you in service to neighbor. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.